Good morning, everyone. I'd like to call this Board of Supervisor meeting to order. The date is September 24th. The time is 9:01. If everyone could please stand, I'm going to ask Annette Patton, the Executive Director of Animal Service, to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Annette. I'm going to start off today's board meeting with a couple of presentations. The first one is the 2013 Stanislaus County, California State Fair Exhibit and Tourism Roundtable. David Jones.
Great. Good morning, Chairman Chiesa, Supervisors, CEO Risen, and Council Doering. My name is David Jones with the Chief Executive's Office of Stanislaus County. The presentation today is our opportunity to honor the work of the Stanislaus County Regional Tourism Roundtable for their efforts on the award-winning display at this year's California State Fair. I'd like the opportunity to introduce several representatives of the Tourism Roundtable who are here with us. And if actually, if you could come forward at this time, we have Mary Guardiola from the Oakdale Chamber of Commerce and Jennifer Mullen from the Modesto Convention and Visitors Bureau. Lisa Kamek from the Turlock Convention and Visitors Bureau had an emergency arise this morning, was not able to be with us today, but was instrumental in the project as well. In a few moments, they'll be saying a few words about the project. But first, I wanted to remind you, as most of you are aware, the roundtable was started by our very own economic development guru, Keith Boggs. Keith is here. More than a dozen years ago, as an effort to coordinate and promote tourism on a countywide basis. In January 2011, the Chief Executive Office made a number of very difficult program cuts and changes as a result of the economic challenges that we were facing at that time. And the roundtable members were faced with some very difficult decisions, but they stepped up independently and in an amazing way to continue with the mission of the roundtable and to continue with their outstanding work on the state fair display. County funding for the state fair display was cut by almost 50%, but the members of the roundtable have been extremely creative, passionate, and persistent in working to facilitate beautiful and engaging displays representing Stanislaus County on an annual basis. And one of the displays, this year's display you're seeing right now projected in the room here. This year the entry from the roundtable received the prestigious Gold Award. And the theme of the county exhibit was Nothing But the Best. And I'd like to turn the microphone over at this point to our representatives from the roundtable to describe the display that was created and to say a few words about the roundtable as well.
Good morning. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure for us to be here. We certainly appreciate it. As you can see from the photograph, it was very exciting. We have an amazing nut community, one of our number one in agriculture here in the county, and we wanted that to be represented. You can't see from the photograph, but the actual nuts themselves were very animated and moving, so it drew a lot of attention, a lot of great questions. There was also a lot of information about facts and figures and how many nuts the county produces and how it affects our economy and that kind of thing. So it was very educational and fun, as you can see as well. So on behalf of the Tourism Regional Roundtable, we'd like to truly thank the Board of Supervisors for this recognition. The California State Fair has over 700,000 visitors each year, and the county's exhibit is by far the most busiest attraction. So we're very excited to be part of that huge exhibit. Together with Mary and I and the others, we're very proud to represent Stanislaus County with this unique exhibit each year. Of course, this would not be possible without your very generous contribution, support from each of you, and the many volunteers that help put this exhibit together. Now, the State Fair booth is just one of the many things that we do on the Regional Roundtable. And as David just mentioned, the concept for the Regional Roundtable was born out of the county CEO office and truly the brainchild of Mr. Keith Boggs, who we're very grateful for. He actually pulled all the partners together and developed the many incentives that we still embody today with the roundtable. With the tourism entities throughout the county promoting and working together, it truly, truly is economic development. Tourism infuses new money into the community's economy. So again, on behalf of the Regional Roundtable, we'd like to thank the Board of Supervisors for your recognition and your continued support of the Regional Roundtable. Thank you very much.
And one of the things that they didn't mention was the live tree that they... I don't know if you can share that briefly.
Just real quickly, one of the focuses of the exhibit is we want to have a live almond tree at the exhibit, which we thought originally would be quite easy. Trying to get a live tree out of the ground up to Sacramento and have it look gorgeous the whole time was a little bit challenging, We reached out to actually the Sears community, and they had a gentleman who was wonderful and helped assist with that project, provided a great tree that had full of almonds and was up at the state fair. And the good news is, after the fair, it didn't go to waste. It went to a good home who's going to replant it and have it still continue to hopefully produce nuts
for
the future.
At the state fair, the farm at the state fair planted that tree.
Yeah, which is really great. So Stanislaus County is there permanently.
Well, you should be very proud of your efforts in promoting tourism in our community and for the leadership that you continue to provide. And you should be greatly commended for that. And with that, I'd ask for you to please come around, and we'll have a certificate for you to present, be presented by our chairman of the board.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, thank you guys for being here. And I will, come on in. I don't bite. Yet. I think Dave had mentioned a few things that were really important, and we used to fund this fully. It was virtually staff-driven out of the CEO's office, and we went through some horrific budget cuts, as you're aware of, and it took folks like yourself to step up and do this. And I heard persistence, passion, and I like to use the words private and public, a partnership. I think that is a great thing about our community. People are stepping up on behalf of what is our base agriculture. So on behalf of the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors, I do appreciate what you've done. We do have a certificate, and keep up the great work. It is beautiful work. Very, very nice. Okay, our second presentation today is Mountain Valley Emergency Medical Services Annual Report, and Richard Murdoch will be presenting. Morning, Richard.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Richard Murdoch, Executive Director, Mountain Valley EMS Agency. I'd like to give a presentation on the executive summary of the 2012 Stanislaus County EMS report. And as you are very aware, 2012 was really a season of change for Mountain Valley and for Stanislaus County. And under new leadership with Mountain Valley EMS Agency, we evaluated a report that was developed by an outside consultant listing shortcomings for the agency as well as for Stanislaus County. And the agency developed a strategic five-year plan based upon those shortcomings, which really incorporated many changes to the EMS system in Stanislaus County. And the results of those shortcomings, I have a Cliff Notes version here. It's a very detailed report. But these are some of the major changes that took place within the county. To begin with, the system changes. The Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors and Mountain Valley EMS Agency Joint Powers Authority Board approved policy direction for proposed new initiatives for new ambulance provider agreements. And those took place in 2012 and have been moving forward really good, actually. Haven't had any issues with them as of yet. Also, related actions were approved to develop and implement a plan for integrated emergency medical dispatching. That was also approved by this board, and so we are moving forward with a team to review and to put a scope of practice into place. The agency EMS medical director altered the use of specific medications and limited certain medications to address a national medication shortage, and so that national shortage did impact us locally as well as other counties, and so changes were made to our field treatment policies as a result of that. The agency executive director, myself, issued a no diversion memo to Stanislaus County hospitals to eliminate ambulance diversion to only three criteria. And the problem is with the ambulance diversion is when a hospital has been impacted with patients, not necessarily from the pre-hospital environment, a hospital would go on diversion, creating a problem where ambulance now would take these patients to other hospitals, creating problems for those hospitals maybe in other areas of the county. And so what most counties have done in the state of California is they've issued a, what's called a no diversion policy, meaning that the ambulances would not divert because it's not a pre-hospital filled issue. It's a, usually a staffing issue or a hospital internal issue that's causing this impact. And so the diversion policy had three criteria. An ambulance could only be diverted if the CT scanner at the hospital was inoperable, there was an internal disaster at the hospital, or they had an inoperable interventional cardiac cath lab, which occasionally does happen where we have a cath lab that's occupied or it's having some mechanical issues, then we have to divert an ambulance to another hospital that's able to take these patients that need cardiac intervention. So that was some of the system changes that took place. With regards to 911 responses for the county, overall, Code 3 911 responses in Stanislaus County were slightly higher than they were in 2011, just by about 51 responses. With regards to Code 2 responses, we don't have that defendable, validated data because that was one of our changes that had to take place within the county and within the EMS agency, and those numbers will be presented for 2013. Contractual response times, the agency changed the process for monitoring contractual response times of all emergency ambulance providers. If you remember, this was part of our contract, and we contract with a company called Inspironics. And Inspironics provides Mountain Valley EMS Agency with unadjusted and adjusted response time compliance reports, and that's specifically based upon the CAD, which is the computer-aided dispatch data. So those times come to us, we're able to evaluate those times, and then the ambulance providers are held contractually responsible for those response times. The system enhancement funds. The system enhancement funds are those funds that were generated from ambulance provider non-compliance fines. For 2012, the fines were approximately $304,540. I should say not the fines, but the balance in that fund was $304,000. And those funds are specifically to be used to enhance EMS system advancements just for Stanislaus County. In the latter part of 2012, the Stanislaus County Emergency Medical Services Committee approved an amount not to exceed $250,000 of those funds for the CAD-to-CAD interface project. If you remember, that was part of our discussion in 2012. So $250,000 is allocated for that CAD-to-CAD project. Regarding mutual aid, the mutual aid provided to adjacent counties by Stanislaus County ambulance providers really has dropped significantly in 2012, and it's because the agency and the providers have actively been monitoring the system responses, and we've been working with our neighboring counties to really mitigate overuse of Stanislaus County ambulances, and so we've seen a drop with regards to that for 2012. So conclusion with the report, overall 2012 was really characterized by a collaboration between the agency and Stanislaus County stakeholders to make those necessary changes to the EMS system. The contractual negotiations began in 2012. We started the contract in May of 2013, and we've had positive results with both the ambulance providers and with this partnership between the public and private agencies and moving forward with that. Inspironics provided us with some validated, defendable data that we have from the CAD to really give us a more accurate picture of the EMS system and providing data for the basis of the additional changes in 2013. The agency in Stanislaus County are continuing to work towards the interface between fire and EMS CADs using that fine money to accomplish the project. And so, as you can see, we made some huge strides in 2012, and we continue to make those strides and looking forward to the results of 2013. And so that really concludes the summary of the 2012 report. Any questions on the report before we talk about the EMS heroes?
Any questions? Yep, we'll have comments, I'm sure. Okay.
Great. Well, this is the great part. In 2013, one of the things that the agency really actively took part in was the EMS Hero Awards, and the theme was EMS One Mission, One Team. And so I believe you have a packet in front of you, and these are the individuals that we recognized with regards to the EMS Hero Award. If you're here, can I announce your name? Could you please stand up so we could recognize you? This was for Superstorm Sandy. And Henry Benavides, EMT, Peter Hastings, paramedic, Mike Matoza, EMT, and Michael Silver, paramedic. These individuals were part of a strike team that responded to Superstorm Sandy in and around New York City and New Jersey. They obviously left their families and the safety of their home, and they traveled this distance to be a part of assistance to these states that were in desperate need of assistance. And one of their big responsibilities was to transport patients from a hospital, actually pediatric patients, and move these pediatric patients to another location, and then also to be a part of the 911 system within those jurisdictions. And so these individuals were recognized, and we would like to say thank you and congratulate them on a job well done. The next group is the Best EMTs in the United States competition. Henry Benavides, you want to stand up again, and Christy Kuhn, paramedic. Christy Kuhn and Henry Benavides attended a national clinical and safety championship in Aurora, Colorado. And basically what they did was to set up an environment that closely related a true EMS environment. And they would utilize their skills, their assessment skills, and their treatment skills that was needed based upon the scenario. And so they competed against individuals from Olympia, Washington, Lake Havasu, Arizona, New Haven, Connecticut, and Modesto, California, which happens to be these two here. So those four states were represented. And these two individuals won the championship and are declared to be the best EMTs in the United States. And so we're very proud to have them working in Stanislaus County. Thank you. Wow. This EMS hero is Christy Kuhn. If you could stand again, please. Exemplary patient care and customer service. Now, all of these EMS heroes are nominated by their peers. And so they're recognized as heroes in the eyes of their peers. Christy Kuhn has worked for AMR for the past 10-plus years. She's an FTO, which is a field training officer, a preceptor, a strike team member, and part of the bike team. She's the number one medic in the nation for AMR. And on her off time, she's a wonderful mother of three children and a wonderful wife. She has outstanding care for her patients. She treats them all like if they were her own family members. And so she was nominated by her peers as well as the EMS agency staff as EMS hero for her exemplary care. Christy. Maureen McKinley. Maureen McKinley is an emergency medical dispatcher, and the award is for exemplary performance in providing pre-arrival instructions. So basically the 911 call comes in, and Maureen McKinley would stay on the line with the individual and talk them through the emergency. And so a letter was written to LifeCom EMS dispatcher supervisor Terry Griffin, and it's addressed to Maureen. It says, "Dear Maureen, you may not remember me, but I will forever remember you. You were that caring person on the other end of the phone line. You were the strong voice encouraging me on and instructing me and continuing to stay with me. Together, you and I saved my husband's life. You saved Kevin's life that Friday night," it looks like it says. "Words do not begin to express my thanks. Please know that I thank you with all my heart. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you." And so she was recognized for this difficult situation where this lady's husband was unconscious, unresponsive, without a pulse, and was not breathing, and she successfully assisted the wife in resuscitating the husband. So thank you, Maureen. She's not here, but thank you. This next award is for exemplary patient care, customer service, and teamwork. So Mike Satriano, fire captain. Jeremy Smith, Doug Fall, Jesus Segala, sheriff deputy. Jared Eckel, paramedic, and Robert Shelp, EMT. If you are here, please stand up. This was nominated. We received this information through the EMS agency, and typically the EMS agency, we always hear the negatives, and we always hear the problems and the issues that are out there. And I received an email one day from an individual that was on this call, and we have recognized this, and I nominated them as the EMS heroes. And in fact, we've even submitted the nomination to the state of California to recognize them as an EMS hero for the state of California. These individuals on December 22nd, 2012, responded to an incident for a child not breathing. Upon arrival, Stanislaus Consolidated Fire Protection District Engine 26, which was Captain Mike Satriano, Engineer Jeremy Smith, and Firefighter Doug Fowle, presented these individuals that are standing with a 2-year-old child in full respiratory arrest who had a slow heart rate, unconscious, and was cyanotic, meaning he was blue. These individuals successfully performed a intubation on the patient. They inserted what's called an intraosseous needle into the bone. They administered the proper medications. They resuscitated this child. They transported the child to Memorial Medical Center. And during the transport, the changes in this child was significant. The skin began to turn pink. The heart rate began to rise quickly. And the patient became a little agitated, meaning that they were kind of coughing on the tube and that had in the tracheostomy area. The child was then flown to, I believe it was Stanford Hospital, where the child continued to improve. The tube was removed. The child was awake, was eating, was happy. And the potential discharge date for that child was to be home on Christmas Day. And so this is one of those calls that you seldom see in your career as an EMS professional. And it's wonderful to recognize the team effort on this call. And we're very proud of them and what they have done. And as a result, there's a 2-year-old that's going to be 3 this year. So thank you very much. The next is dedication to EMS community, Eric Watts. Eric Watts is a paramedic as well as an administrator. He's from the Crow's Landing area. He is the administrator of Westside Ambulance. He is also a Gustine volunteer firefighter. He's a reserve police officer for the Merced Sheriff's Department. And he's also part of the SWAT team and part of the paramedic on the SWAT team as well. So Eric has quite a bit of things taking place in his life, and he's been recognized by his peers as being a phenomenal leader and very active with his community, with his family, and he is showing support and dedication to the West Side, to the employees, to the community, and we recognize him as an EMS hero. So, Eric, thank you. The last and final is, this is Modesto Regional Fire Association, compression only CPR. If you're here, please stand up. Eddie Martinez, Shannon Sandoval, Jess Nicasio, Josh Hosselman, Jeff Adney, Jim Beachman, Craig Walker, Ron Sohn, Zach Brubaker, Greg Miller, Kieran Malone, Gary Skiles, Tom Dick, Air Juarez, and Hugo Patino, Chief. And so Jeff Adney is here. On May 22nd, Stanislaus County participated in the CPR challenge that was organized by AMR. The goal was to break the existing world record held by Austin, Texas, with a record of 4,000 people trained in compression-only CPR in a 24-hour time period. In Stanislaus County, the providers were enthusiastic about joining AMR in attempting to break the current record. Classes were held throughout Stanislaus County by Westside Ambulance, Ceres Fire Department, AMR, and Modesto Regional Fire Authority. At the end of the CPR challenge day, Stanislaus County had trained 244 people to perform compression only. And nationally, AMR broke the existing record, leaving Texas in the dust by teaching over 52,000 people. Modesto Regional Fire Association's CPR team, made up of Station 4, Station 10, and Station 12, taught 148 people compression-only CPR, which was 60% of the total for Stanislaus County. So it was a very friendly competition between Modesto Regional Fire Authority and AMR, and they were able to teach 60% of the people. And so I just listed those CPR instructors, and the CPR team members are EMS heroes for Stanislaus County, and we'd like to give another big round of applause to MRFA. And with that, I thank you, and I end my presentation.
We have the best paramedics in the world. We have, I fully expect, Eric, you to take off your shirt and have a Superman cape underneath there when I hear about you guys. Saving lives of young kids. These are the stories we need people to hear all the time. So I very much appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you all very much. Okay, coming back, is there any comments from the audience during the presentation? Any comments from the board members? Supervisor Martini?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I want to congratulate all the EMS heroes for their extraordinary work and their service to the community. Very much appreciated. We have a great crew here in Stanislaus County. And just some basic comments on Mountain Valley EMS. And say things have improved quite a bit on that board. And I know we have really improved ambulance service and put down procedures in place now that make the ambulance companies accountable for their response times. And the five counties that make up that board are all working together better now than they ever have since I've been on the board. I've been on 9 years. So it's, with our new administrator, Mr. Murdoch there, he's done a good job, and I think things have never been better in Mountain Valley.
Yeah. Okay, any other comments? Thank you guys very much. Again, thank you for coming. Good stories abound. Okay, now's the we're going to move on to public comment period. It's an opportunity for anyone to speak on any item that is not listed on today's agenda. Speakers will be limited to 5 minutes. I have one speaker card, Mr. Vernon Price. Good morning, Mr. Price.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, gentlemen of the board, Mr. Risen, CEO, ladies and gentlemen of Stanislaus County, good morning. My name is Vernon Price. I am a homeless person with mental illness here in Stanislaus County. Mr. Chairman, I believe I gave you a document this morning, proof of diagnosis. Along with that is my treatment plan from Madera County. Since 2007, my diagnosis and treatment plan from there, I believe the Madam Director of BHRS is also in has a copy of that. There's been a situation with BHRS and myself over a period of time. It has enhanced as of yesterday when a police officer comes to me in Wellness at 500 North Knight. The only thing I can say in my defense is one thing. Because I don't have the money for attorneys, nor this, that, and the other. If one feels or deems threatened, or has perceived a threat, and this is an ongoing invitation, the only way I can protect my name is to willfully overcome my past by surrendering my present to a polygraph. If that will relieve any stress or pressure or any question whatsoever, I will be glad to take one. Just set me with a date. I also come before you, and I have passed this PDF file. It's called Self-Sufficiency Toward an Unflying Theory of Behavioral Change. I won't get into much of reading this because I've lost my glasses, so I do apologize for that. That's no one's fault but my own. But I would like to leave this because if we look back in our peripheral and allow, if anyone knows about dialectical behavioral therapy that was brought in by Dr. Marcia Linehan, I've taken those courses. That's also in this packet from Madera County, BHRS, and it can be confirmed by Dr. Jerry Lanigan, which was my facilitator. In our peripheral, sometimes we have dragons that have been buried that does not need to be resurrected. And that dragon just is part of triggers of our past that perceive to consume the pearl of our present. And that's called co-occurring circumstances. Those of us with dual diagnosis knows what I'm talking about. I refuse to be a product of my past because I've come too far. I've spoken with Supervisor Withrow that sits on the Mental Health Board, the graciousness of the chairman, our former CEO, Monica Nino. So there is compassion in this community and town. But I ask you to look at the full picture of texts that have been taken out of context. That's all I ask. Thank you so much, and have a pleasant day. And I'll leave this with Madam Clerk, if y'all would like to make a comment.
Thank you, Mr. Price.
If there's any questions, I'll be glad to answer.
Any questions? Nope.
Any questions from the community? Thank you so much. You all have a very pleasant day.
You too. Anyone else for public comment? Okay, seeing that, I'm going to move on to the consent calendar. I'm going to pull B1 just for comments. Would any other supervisor like to pull any other item? None? Would anyone from the audience like to pull any item? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
A motion to approve.
Second.
Awkward silence on a second. Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. B1, I just want to comment. I think it's important. We are doing some accommodations for Dr. John Walker, our public health officer, Carol Shipley, the assistant district attorney, and David Jones, our director of communications, who presented earlier today. They've been chosen as the Dale Butler Equal Rights Award winners for the county, and that is something we pick one or more county employees a year in recognition of their outstanding achievement in promoting equal rights. There will be a award ceremony on October 4th at 3:30 here in these board chambers. I want to congratulate each one of the three. They're all longtime employees of the county, and they're doing great work for us. So thank you very much. With that, I'll make the motion to accept B1.
Second.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? 5-0. Thank you guys very much. Okay, we'll be moving on to item B8. B8, the approval to introduce and waive the first reading of Title VII ordinance, including administrative citations and disposition of stray cats for Stanislaus County Animal Services Agency. Executive Director Annette Patton.
Good morning, Chairman Chiesa, Board Member CEO Risen, and County Council Doring. Annette Patton, Executive Director for Stanislaus Animal Services. It is my pleasure to be here this morning as I come to you with new recommendations on the impact it will have on the community as it relates to animals. Okay.
There you go.
Let me wait for Vita. Go ahead. Okay, Animal Services became a joint powers agency between the county and the cities of Modesto, Ceres, and Patterson, and Waterford just a couple of years ago. And about that same time, we also moved to a new facility. This new facility was named after our former Board of Supervisors, Thomas Mayfield. And you'll see our beautiful facility. We are there, and we're going to stay there a very long time, I hope. It's a beautiful place for the animals to live. Today's recommended action is to amend Title VII for animals. And what it's generated really is to look at the whole ordinance and replace it with the existing ordinance. Also incorporated already into the new Title VII is the administrative citations and the disposition of stray cats. The recommendations have been reviewed and approved by the Stanislaus Animal Services Agency Board. The board consists of the CEO from the county and all the city managers of each of the cities represented in the JPA. The recommendations was the lead effort by County Council. Dear Trash did a fabulous, fabulous package, and she also worked with all of the city attorneys in each of the different cities that we work with in the JPA. I'm in Title VII. This was revised as a model ordinance. It's really, it's packaged, and each of the cities and the county included can take it as is and move it in. There's no change in the essence of what the law means. It's just consistent terms, standardize the language, and make it today's animal services for the Joint Powers Agency. Some of the biggest changes you will see is administrative sites, which I will discuss, and the disposition of stray cats that's already included and packaged in the model ordinance. Animal Services, as a Joint Powers Agency, is now working under the direction of the Animal Services Agency Board, is some of the language that was changed. Also, Animal Court appeals will be heard by Superior Court and no longer the Board of Supervisors. And loud noises as a result of animals barking dogs, language is also included in the Title VII now. The biggest impact is the administrative citation. And what we're asking here today is to expedite compliance to secure a dog license and a rabies vaccination in a friendly way. Day to day, we have canvassers that go door to door knocking on the community, and they're looking to see if Fluffy will bark or Fluffy will give himself away at the door, and most likely Fluffy will give himself away. If you come to the door, we issue a courtesy notice or a citation asking you to license your dog or rabies, provide a rabies. If you don't come to the door, which is sometimes a challenge, then all we can do at this point in time is leave a courtesy notice. With the administrative citation, it would give us the power to issue that administrative citation even if somebody doesn't come to the door. And these are some true stories about the administrative citation. People are fun when we're out there and not aggressive at all. But we knocked on the door, and the canvassers like to share stories with me on a day-to-day basis. And somebody said, oh, this is in our community of Houston. Oh, my neighbor forgot to call me and tell me you guys were in town. We always know when you're coming into town, and we don't answer the doors because we don't want to get a citation, but you caught me this year, so I guess that means I'll have to come in and buy my license. So that's kind of the summary of what usually is interacting with what it's like with out there at the community. It's not aggressive or assertive at all. So with this administrative citation, you would get the citation, but you're also allowed 30 days to come in and fix it without any kind of penalty or fine. So you may get the citation in the mail, you may get it in person, or you may get it posted to your property, but it does say in very clear language with this new administrative site, you have 30 days to correct it. There's no penalties, no fines at all compared to the current situation. Just come in, buy the dog license, $12 for a dog that's spayed or neutered, $150 if your dog is not spayed or neutered, and bring us the rabies vaccination, proof of rabies vaccination. The overall goal is really to maximize code compliance and protect the dogs from safety. It is California law that dogs are supposed to be licensed and rabies vaccinated, and it's also proven that a dog that has a dog license makes his way home if he does get out much sooner than a dog that's not licensed. The next recommended action is disposition of stray cats. Basically, this is probably the least amount of action that's probably going to take place with the disposition of stray cats. We do inform the public that it is unlawful to abandon a dog or a cat, actually, anywhere. But this was brought to our attention just a few months ago, and what we basically tell anybody who comes in, it's not illegal to trap a cat. It is, you are supposed to bring the cat to the shelter, because if you bring the cat to the shelter, that gives the owner the rightful time frame to look for their cat and claim their cat and take the cat home. And if you are trapping cats, we do ask that you tell your neighbors that you're trapping cats so they know what you're doing. But anybody who is trapping a cat is strongly encouraged to bring the cat to the shelter. This would be an infraction if somebody does and does share that they're abandoning cats out in the wild besides the shelter. The recommended final action is to amend Title VII of the Stanislaus County Code of Animals, and this is basically taking the entire Title VII and replacing it with the existing Title VII. Again, these recommendations have been reviewed and approved by the Stanislaus Animal Services Agency Board, which is all the city managers and the CEO of the county and all the city attorneys and county council. Is there any questions or comments that you may have today?
Questions or comments of staff?
And I just have one, because I'm familiar with what you're trying to do here. Suppose that somebody knocks on the door and there's a dog barking in there, which I'm campaigning. I know there's, when there's dogs in the house myself, that if that person is just taking care of a dog for somebody else on vacation, maybe you don't show that there's a dog license issued to that. How would you handle something like that?
That happens frequently now, and they just call into us and let us know that we are watching this dog. The owners are on vacation, and I just clear the citation.
Okay. I think everything you have on here is great. I have one concern, and that's the 30 days. Is 30 days enough time for someone? And my big concern is those who may not be able to afford the $150 unaltered license. Is that enough time for them to get into low-cost spay and neuter and get the dog altered? And that's my concern, is 30 days may not be enough for that person.
That's a good question. And I would do exactly what we do now. I would extend out that citation. And then also, if you are one of those citizens who comes in and don't want to pay that $150, we always highly suggest buying our escape package, which would get the dog spayed or neutered and a little lower cost for the license also. But we have no problem extending that time frame.
And rabies shot included in that escape voucher?
It is. Rabies shot and spay and neuter and license.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I see the staff report talking about a potential $50,000 revenue. I would say that our goal would be a $0 additional revenue. I really want to see this as a way for compliance rather than out seeking revenue. So I think compliance is the goal, and I really want that to be what comes out of this today, is this is a way to gain compliance.
Other comments? Questions? Nope. Any questions or comments from folks in the audience? All right. Bring it back to the board. What's the pleasure? Supervisor DeMartini.
I think this is, reasonable ordinance here, and I've been to some of the JPA meetings where this has been discussed, and county council has been involved, and city managers, and I think I can support this today.
Okay. All right. I guess I'm entertaining a motion then.
I'll move to approve the staff recommendation.
The motion?
I will second that.
We have a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Nameless. Thank you, Annette.
Thank you.
Good work. Okay. No scheduled matters. Moving on to correspondence.
This board has received a notice of public hearing from the Department of Water Resources, Flood Protection Project Funding, Flood Protection Corridor Grant Program, regarding a recent request for funds for the acquisition of the Hidden Valley Ranch property.
Refer to the Department of Public Works.
And this board has received from the West Downs Resource Conservation District the 2013 Annual Reserve Monitoring Report for the Crow's Landing Naval Base Easement regarding the natural resources on the agricultural property related to the Crow's Landing Naval Base.
Refer to the Chief Executive Office.
And this board has received the claim as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports? Supervisor O'Brien.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, over the past weekend out at Woodward Reservoir, there was the Symbiosis Music Festival that occurred. And as of this week, we're starting to hear from our residents who live out near Woodward Reservoir. Most of the comments so far has been negative as far as those who live nearby, so I've contacted our Valley Home MAC, and they have done a great job of getting a question out to the community of how this affected them this past weekend. I think there's things that we'd have to address on any future music festivals, and I'm not talking just Symbiosis, but potential other music festivals out there that we look at. Majority of the complaints are the biggest complaints come from a 5-mile radius. And those living closer to 5 miles sound like it wasn't as impactful. And I'm sure there's a sound engineer that will tell us why bass beats are heard at 5 miles worse than they are at 3. But that seems to be the complaints that are coming in so far, is that the 5 mile seems to be more impacted than a closer residence. I've gotten some good comments that they thought this was a great thing, to all the way to the other extreme where we've ruined people's life this past weekend. So all I'm asking for is that is if there's ever another music festival, we might look at the additional conditions, maybe time restraints or decibel restraints, be taken a look at prior to approval.
Thank you for your comments. Any other Board of Supervisor reports? Okay. Seeing none. Let's see. I'm completely lost here. Here it is. legislative fiscal management report.
Yeah, just real quick, the state legislature is in recess, so we're watching more closely what's happening on the federal level. Put a shout out to Congressman Jeff Denham and his staff. They've been working closely with our staff and county legislative advocates in trying to get the West Timber Creek included in the House Senate conference report. And so we thank them for their efforts in that regard. Also, we're keeping a close eye on what happens as it relates to potential federal government shutdown if new appropriations or continuing resolutions not passed by September 30th. As you're probably aware, there's some that are ready to do a continuing resolution but tie it to reducing or defunding the Affordable Care Act. And so we'll be watching that closely to see what implications it may have on the services we provide using federal funding. So that concludes my report.
And I will add one point to that. Yesterday, Probation Chief Silva and myself had went and talked to the Department of Finance regarding AB 109, the funding formula. But the news was out yesterday that the growth formula, which was originally expected to be around $70 million, and was lowered to $45 million, is now back up in the north of $80 million. So that is in their budget, which is a good sign, which would be about doubling of what our expected take on the growth formula. So still not going to close the gap much for us, even though the formula is more favorable than the initial allocation, but it's some positive news in these times. Okay, we do have a closed session.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have a closed session conference with legal counsel to discuss significant exposure to litigation involving one case. This will be pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision D2. Additionally, there's conference with legal counsel to discuss existing litigation involving one case, People of the State of California versus Dan Avila et al., Stanislaus County Superior Court, case number 679843, pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision D1. We reasonably expect to report out on the existing litigation matter.
Nothing else for the good of the order. This meeting is adjourned.